Welcome to another episode of My Sports Musings. I'm your host, Frank Diglio. Today we're going to talk more about the Yankees, mostly, and a little bit about the Knicks at the end. The Yankees now are sitting just three back in the loss column of the Seattle Mariners for the second wild card spot. As we stand today, according to FanGraphs, the Yankees only have a 12% chance of making the playoffs. I think that's largely, or not largely, but a lot of that is due to the fact that they still have a negative run differential. And to put it in perspective, they have a run differential worse than the Seattle Mariners by 140 runs. That is the difference between the two teams this season. That is an enormous number that can't just be written off as a non-existent or as useless stat. But as I've been saying, for a while now, the Yankees, while they do have a negative run differential, which usually means they should be under 500, they've been outplaying that for the entire season. You know, so you have a sample of April through August of outplaying your run differential. Usually, not usually, but you'd think that they could continue to outplay it for one more month. When these things start to even out and they regress to the mean, it usually happens, not always at the midway point. Sometimes it can happen earlier, it can happen a little later. But usually when it happens, the team, you know, doesn't have a sustained period of 4 or 5 months of playing over their heads, and then all of a sudden they fall off a cliff. I mean, it could happen. It has happened. But that, if I'm a Yankee fan, well, I am, but Yankees fans shouldn't be worried about the negative run differential as much as they were, or as much as they should have been in, you know, May, June, July, when this is like, realistically, this could come back to bite the team and hurt the team. But now looking at, like I said, they're only three back of Seattle, and they're really only six back of Baltimore. Now, I don't think the Yankees are going to catch Baltimore. I think it's wiser for Yankees fans to take it one, and for the team to take it one game at a time, and right now just focus on Seattle. It's twice as close as Baltimore is, but six games isn't insurmountable. It's not like going into the last month of the season, you know, month and 5 days, that the Yankees had to look at and say, well, we just have no shot of winning the division. We might as well turn that off. This isn't that. This is, we have a good shot at the wild card and an outside, but in no way impossible or a minute shot of the division. The Orioles have been very hot since the All-Star break. They've cooled down a little bit. They've lost three in a row. They're 5-5 in their last 10. But overall, you'd think that, you know, Toronto was winning this division at the All-Star break, and then Baltimore got crazy hot. They're 9 games up on they're 9 games up on Toronto. And actually, I think Baltimore might have been leading the division, but I don't think it was by an especially high amount. Anyway, Baltimore has been outplaying the rest of the American League East since July. So if the Yankees, they shouldn't be hoping, but, you know, if Baltimore can fall back a little bit, let's say they go, I think they have 34 games left. If they go 17-17, 18-16, you know, that means the Yankees would have to go, if they also have, the Yankees have six. Yeah, the Yankees have the same 34 games left. The Yankees would have to win 25 of those 34 games. The Yankees, put it this way. If the Yankees lose more than 10 games for the rest of the season, which, in my opinion, seems likely, it would be incredibly difficult to win the division. They would need a lot of help from Baltimore. I don't think Baltimore is going to go under 500 the rest of the season. And if they go 18-16, I would think the Yankees head-to-head is not good versus Baltimore. So if they tie, Baltimore gets the division, which is, you know, not, you know, so the Yankees have to finish above Baltimore instead of just finishing tied with them and then getting the tiebreaker. So that's why they should focus more on the wild card. Now, the Yankees play Kansas City tonight, and then they got three in Detroit. That's the big one. I know Detroit has fallen below Seattle, but I think most people still expect Detroit to either win the division or a wild card. Like, I don't think anyone legit really thinks Detroit's going to miss the playoffs. So the Yankees are going to be competing with Detroit and really Kansas City. They play Kansas City tonight. They could be competing with Kansas City for a playoff spot as well. Then tonight, it's Michael Pineda versus James Shields. Shields has been, you know, Yankees fans especially know how good Shields is from his time in Tampa Bay when he was excellent. And the Yankees, they had some decent games off of him, but their hitting was better when they did it back in like 2011, 2012. Shields has, you know, been really good this year. He's been really good almost every year of his career. But the Yankees have Michael Pineda, and Michael Pineda has been very good since he's come back from the DL. He hasn't been quite as dominant as he looked in April, but it's, I mean, he's still on the season, has a 2.05 ERA, and, you know, he's pitching on the road where, for the season, for whatever it's worth, I think he has two starts, he has a 2.84, that doesn't really mean anything. And in August, he had a 2.45, that's only two starts, but still, he's been pitching better as the season has come along, and I think that's encouraging, and there's no reason to think, well, there's no reason to discount his ability to outpitch James Shields tonight, and the Yankees can steal that win, and then that would mean they go into Detroit, you know, on a 5-game winning streak to come in hot. Sometimes it doesn't always work in baseball. Sometimes you come in hot, and then boom, you can get swept just like that. But the starters for Detroit are Porcello and Price. If you remember, they beat Porcello in New York about a month ago, or a few weeks ago, and they lost to Price. But remember, they scored 3 runs off of Price. That was the game they lost in extras when they didn't get a hit off the bullpen. So it's not like they hit Price recently when they were still struggling to get offense. And then there is no scheduled starter for Detroit in that third game, where it's Kuroda, who's been pitching way better than I think Yankees fans could have expected in the second half of the season. And that could mean, if they win tonight and then they steal one, they take game one, McCarthy versus Porcello, and at this point, McCarthy is definitely out pitching Porcello. At least I think most people would agree with that recently anyway. And then Green versus Price definitely favors the Tigers. But that third game, the Tigers have been struggling to find somebody to pitch. That's why they gave up 32 runs in 2 games against Minnesota. I mean, part of it was a doubleheader, so they brought some people up. But with their injuries to the starting rotation, they've been struggling to find good pieces to replace the missing parts. So that could really help the Yankees. The Yankees could knock them around, take 2 out of 3. You know, obviously you prefer the sweep, but I think when you're playing against a team who you've traditionally struggled against, Detroit, in Detroit, a place you don't particularly play well, looking at it, taking 2 out of 3, moving a game up on them, is still something that you have to be very happy with. And, you know, I've said this before, looking at the last month, they got eight games against Baltimore in September. 8. So the Yankees really could decide their fate with Baltimore. They got to go 6-2 in those 8. I feel like if they go anything worse than 6-2, they have very little chance to win the division. If they enter September still 6 back, what they are right now, they go 6-2. That's 4 games right there where they pick up on Baltimore. That means in the other games, in the other 3, 4, that's 7, 10. In the other 19 games, they only have to be 2 games better than Baltimore. Again, if they go 6-2. The problem is the Yankees don't play Baltimore well. It's 4 in Baltimore, 4 in New York. So it's evenly split. The 4 in New York are closer to the end of the season. It could be high-leverage games. Who knows how that's going to affect anything, if that matters. Remember, that last game with Baltimore, Tuesday, September 25th, is also Derek Jeter's last game as a Yankee. I mean, not as a Yankee, I'm sorry. Last regular season game at Yankee Stadium. But that's really it. I think the Yankees fans have to be a little bit more optimistic than you would have thought. I think they're way more optimistic than... you know, even a week ago when they were losing, when they dropped the 4 in a row, but one of the Orioles games was rain delayed and they weren't even competitive in those games, and then Betances came out and pitched very poorly, and then they lost to Tampa Bay. I mean, that was a whole disaster. And then right when you thought they put it back on track after they won 2 in a row in Tampa Bay, they dropped 2 to Houston. You know, the Yankees are going to be looking at it. They're 3 back right now to Seattle. If they just beat Houston 2 out of 3 now, and they beat Houston 2 out of 3 to start the season, they'd be 1 game back of that wild card spot. You know, tell that to people who think April games don't matter. Every game matters. It matters the same. You know, a loss in April, if the Yankees had that back, a stupid loss, they'd be closer to the playoffs. 5 game out, and two back if you just change one loss, especially against bad teams. And remember also, Cleveland was the other team that really put the Yankees in a bad way. That's right, they lost five in a row last week. But moving on, I want to talk a little bit about the Knicks. Their schedule next year is a bit tougher than I think most people realize. Early in the season, starts in November, I think 24th, ends January 7th. They have a 26-game stretch. Might start a little bit earlier than November 24th, but they have a 26-game stretch where 21 of the teams that they're playing are projected to make the playoffs, including the Spurs, the Cavs, the Heat. I think that's the Rockets twice. They play the Thunder. They play the Mavericks. They play all these really good teams. And when you have a team like the Knicks, who have a brand new coach, he's going to introduce a new system. Most of these players haven't played in the triangle. And they have a lot of new teammates. You know, no more Tyson Chandler, no more Raymond Felton. I don't like Raymond Felton. I think he's not very good. But still, when you have new faces like Jose Calderon, Samuel D'Alembert, Larkin, if he gets any playing time, Cle Anthony Lee's a rookie. He has to get acclimated to the system. But sometimes those teams, especially in basketball, where it really does matter if you can play with somebody else. And it really, like, you have to learn to play as a team. Unless you have, like, LeBron, then you have a little bit of leeway in the beginning. But usually, those teams start off slowly. Because, even the Heat did, they started off 9-8 in their first year in 2010. Because you have to learn how to play with one another. And it doesn't matter how much talent is on the team, really, and who the coach is. The Knicks could start off pretty slowly. And my worry would be that 26-game stretch, and by the way, three of the teams that they're playing over that 26-game stretch, three of the five teams that aren't going to make the playoffs this year, aren't projected to make the playoffs this year, are New Orleans, with Anthony Davis, Jrue Holiday, and, you know, Tyreke Evans, Eric Gordon. So that's not exactly a pushover team. Detroit with Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond. And then remember, the Knicks' low post defense this year looks to be not very good, especially if Stoudemire starts at center like many believe. And the other team is Sacramento with DeMarcus Cousins, who could also torch the Knicks. So those aren't going to be layup games either. You know, it's not like they're playing the 76ers or the Bucks, where, like, those teams want to be bad. You know, these teams, they're still going to be feisty, especially in the beginning of the season when they have everything to play for. You know, in theory, in the beginning of the season, anyone can make the playoffs. But I think that could really, it could really unravel. And if the Knicks, look, if they go like 10-16 over that stretch, or, you know, 9-17, and look, they're playing really good teams. Like I said, new coach, new team. It's not out of the question, and you can still be a good team. Like, the Knicks can still get hot after that 26-game stretch and try to get back into things. But I think it was unlikely before the schedule came out that they would be above a 7 seed. When you look at it, you got 6 teams. You have the Cavs, the Heat, and this is in no order. I'm just naming these 6 teams that are definitely better than the Knicks in the East. The Cavs, the Heat, the Wizards, the Raptors, the Bobcats, and the Bulls. So yeah, that's 6 teams. And then if Atlanta's healthy, they could be 7. So the Knicks are looking at 7th or 8th seed before the schedule came out. This makes things a lot tougher for the Knicks. The good news, I mean, not the good news, but look, if worst case scenario, the Knicks miss the playoffs, you know, they do have a lot, they do have a first round pick this year, you know, so they could do well in the lottery. It's actually theirs. Hopefully they keep it. But that's really what, I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not doom and gloom, but Knicks fans have to look at that stretch of the schedule and really, you know, be a little concerned. That's not ideal to see, and but we'll see what happens. Anyway, that's my musings podcast, my sports musing podcast. I'm Frank Diglio. You can email the show at mysportsmusings@gmail.com, and thanks for listening.